Thank you, thank you. Are you awake? The walls are not going to come tumbling down, but we thank the Jericho Brass for sharing victory in Jesus as to get our adrenaline and blood flowing here. I have a couple of announcements for you all, and then some other people wish to make announcements. First, so I do not forget it, this is our adult education opportunity, the Sunday seminars. This is the first one for the year. You'll see them in your home edition under Adult Christian Education. They are from 11:30 until 12:30. You'll notice three spots. And the spirituality of giving is going to be led by John Morris here in the sanctuary. Brian Uhlenhop, for the director of the Dream Center, is going to be in the chapel to tell you about their ministry. And our youth and your technology, bring your phones and other electronic devices and ask questions and get help. They'll be able to help program everything. They are going to be in the commons during and following our fellowship. Our child care is available for all of these activities. So please take advantage of these Sunday seminars. Kristen DeFonso has an announcement, or rather a count your blessings statement for us. Come on up, Kristen.
Good morning. My name is Kristen DeFonso, and I've been a member of FFC since 1999. My husband Nick and I were married here several years ago, obviously, and we have two children, Will, who is 9 years old and is in fourth grade, and Amelia, who is 7 years old and in second grade. We are entering the years that one might call a transition period where things are starting to get much more busy. We're involved with multiple sports and activities, and school expectations are becoming more intense. And although our kids are getting older and life seems to be changing very quickly, one presence has remained steadfast throughout our years as parents, and that is the presence of our church, FFC. I'm grateful for FFC, not just for the worship that we have on Sunday mornings, but for the foundation that has been provided to my children over the last 9 years. From baptism to time in the nursery to Sunday school, VBS, and Logos, our time here has been filled with support, love, teaching, and of course, fellowship. As a parent, there are many instances, and I hope most of you can agree with this, when you just don't know whether you're doing things just quite right as a parent. And then there are those moments that you think, maybe this is going okay for us and we're doing just all right. And sometimes when those moments come to me, I have to honestly say that I feel that during those times when I feel that things are going right, I'm very thankful for FFC and the foundation that it's given the children, because things are going well in our lives. So I'd like to take a few moments. So when I think about counting my blessings and being grateful for FFC in those small moments where we seem to be doing all right as parents, I'd like to share just a few quick stories from our family, or quick anecdotal stories, if you will, just to share how FFC's made a difference in our lives. So bear with me. I've just got a few short stories to tell you. So 2 summers ago, when my daughter, Amelia, was then 5, she was working on learning how to ride a bike without training wheels, and she told her brother, "Will, it's really hard learning how to ride a bike." And her big brother could have replied in many ways, right? He could have given the sarcastic remark of, "It's not that hard," or anything like that. And so I just patiently sat there and waited, and he replied with, "It's okay, Amelia. Remember, Jesus gives you courage." And I thought, Jesus gives you courage. That was the Bible point, one of the Bible points for VBS that year. So I smiled, and at that point, I was thankful for FFC. And last fall, when we drove through Morton, where we live, we passed a giant billboard that read, "Jesus Lives." My daughter, from the back seat, quickly spoke up and said, "Mom, did you read that billboard? Of course Jesus lives. He rose from the dead. But why would you need to put something like that on a billboard? Everyone knows that." And again, I smiled and was thankful for FFC. And a few months ago, as I sat in the room during one of my daughter's first piano lessons, I overheard the piano teacher ask her if she had ever heard the sound that an organ plays. My daughter looked at me with a big grin and then quickly answered her piano teacher, "Yes, I know what an organ sounds like." As we rode home, she reiterated to me, "Mom, can you believe that the piano teacher asked me if I know what an organ sounds like?" So, just like every 7-year-old should know what an organ sounds like. So I smiled and was thankful for the music that we've shared at FFC. And earlier this week, as my husband and I were sitting down to read before bed with both of my children, we both had books in hand, ready to do some reading. My son, Will, very frantically said, "Wait a minute, I've got to go get my absolute favorite book." And he's in fourth grade, and so he ran off to his room, and I thought, all right, he's going to come back with a sports biography about Babe Ruth or one of those silly books that fourth graders love called Captain Underpants that parents can't stand, right? And so I thought he was going to come back with one of those silly books. And he runs back into the room and he said, "I've got it." And it was a biography called Who Was Jesus? And we began reading. So again, I smiled and I thought of FFC. And finally, just this past Wednesday night, right before dinner time, I received a call from a parent of a fellow fourth grade student inviting my son to attend church, his church that night with him. And so I got off the phone, I asked my son if he'd like to go. He beamed with excitement, went and got ready, and literally was on the front porch waiting in a chair by himself to be picked up to go to church. Later that night, as he was going to bed, he shared with me, "You know, Mom, God has a lot of children. Like, all of us are God's children." And again, I smiled because I knew he had listened to the message at church that night from his friend's church in Morton. So I smiled and was thankful for FFC. So it's these little moments like the ones that I've shared that make me thankful that FFC is my family's church home. My children have been given a strong foundation through Sunday school, VBS, Logos, and other family events. And that is why we choose to financially support FFC. These programs are the ones that attract young families and help our church grow. I want other families to experience what my children have experienced, and I want other children to feel the love and support that my children have felt and continue to feel every Sunday morning. As my children get older, and we look forward to youth group, stronghold, and mission trips, we'll continue to support FFC financially so that these programs can continue to impact and shape our children. I hope that you'll join me in supporting FFC financially as we count our blessings this season. Thank you.
And Jessica, do you have an announcement?
Good morning. Today we are dedicating Bibles for our new preschoolers and also for our third graders during today's worship service. Following the Bible dedication, we invite third graders and their parents to join us upstairs in the fellowship hall for our special Bible workshop. And all other Sunday school classes will resume as normal. Thank you.
Passport to Hope is this coming weekend, this coming Saturday night. Please, if you have not turned in a reservation yet, we do ask you to do so, as Passport to Hope is one of the major mission fundraisers of our mission committee here at First Federated Church. You'll find more information for Passport for Hope on the back of your home edition. And our finance committee hosted a wonderful brunch between worship services at the Life Together Center. You'll be receiving information from our finance committee on the upcoming stewardship campaign. So we hope that you are able to prayerfully respond to what God is calling you to do as you set aside a percentage of your income to do the work of First Federated Church. Let us continue in the spirit of worship as the Jericho Brass will play for us to the glory of God. Shout to the Lord.
join me in the call to worship. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, lurking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
The Apostle Paul wrote that if we say we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves, and the truth is not with us. In the Old Testament, the prophet in Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am an unclean man living in the midst of a people with unclean lips." John Donne once wrote in his 17th sonnet, "No one is an island entire of themselves, but each is a part of the main." At this time, we confess not only the sin that we have done or continue to do, but we also confess the sin of the people in whose presence we live. None of us are independent contractors, but we are all a part of a greater community of faith. And what we do either affects the world for better or for worse. And so I ask you to join me in a moment of silent confession, and then let us join our voices in our unison prayer of confession. Please join me for a few moments of silence. Together, we join in prayer. Lord God, too often we mistake the quick quip for wisdom. We view gentleness as weakness. Our hearts are filled with bitter envy and selfish ambition. We participate actively or passively in disorder and are silent in the face of wickedness. Forgive us. Give us the courage to follow a better path, a better way, in the name of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. The Apostle Paul once again wrote, "This saying is sure and full of truth." And in the first epistle of John's letter, we read that God is love and that perfect love casts out fear. God is loving and forgives us our sin, especially when we truly have penitent hearts. Believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's love was revealed on the cross, confirmed in the resurrection, and affirmed by us in the baptism and the sacrament of communion. Friends, brothers, and sisters in Christ, we have been forgiven. As forgiven sinners, let us learn how to forgive one another as freely as we ourselves have been forgiven. Let us learn how not to return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. To the glory of God. Amen.
On behalf of the Christian Education Committee of First Federated Church, we are pleased to present storybook Bibles to our new preschool children, as well as new Bibles to all third grade children. Each child will receive their Bible from their parent or family member as a reminder that the parent has a primary responsibility of spiritually nurturing their child. At this time, I invite all third graders and parents to come forward as I read their names. Andrew Breidert, Jonathan Chachowski, Ginger Crawford, Annabelle Cremens, Lillian Hampton, Zoe Hill, Wyatt Moore, Whitney Parks, and Fox Sanders. Children, today you receive your first complete Bible. Inside the front cover of each third grade Bible, we have placed a book plate with your name on it and a dedication to Reverend Dr. Thomas Treble, who grew up in this church. As an adult, he came back to serve here as pastor from 1980 to 1988. His family is still active here today, and this Bible dedication was established in his memory. The poem placed inside each of your Bibles reads as follows. Take heart, my friends. God's Spirit empowers us to move from the ways of blindness to the ways of sight, from the ways of deafness to the ways of listening. Let us go forth to live in faithfulness and hope because of God's love for us and our love for one another. It is our hope that each of you will read your Bible, learn from your Bible, and use it to guide you throughout life as you live in faithfulness and hope, loving those around you.
Parents, Scripture instructs us to raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it. We wish to walk with you in this faith journey. Therefore, on behalf of First Federated Church and the Church Universal, we give to you a Bible and encourage you to share it with your child, read it with them, and aid them in discovering the way, the truth, and the life that is found in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, third graders. All third graders and parents, you can now sit in the first couple rows, and we will go up to the fellowship hall shortly for our Bible workshop. I now invite all three-year-olds or new preschoolers to come forward with their family members as I read names, please. Henry Crawford, Violet Sheely, Olivia Nelson, Amelia Schodel, Brooke Gordon, and Lydia Strelo. The child's love of learning and hearing stories begins long before they are able to read. Today we give a storybook Bible to the children as they begin their faith journey in Sunday school. Children, today you are receiving a special storybook Bible with some of the most important stories from the Bible. Be sure to ask your family members to read it with you and to you.
Parents, once again, Scripture instructs us to raise up a child in the way they should go, and as they grow old, they will live in the way of the Lord. We wish to walk with you on this faith journey with your child. Therefore, on behalf of First Federated Church and the Church Universal, we give to you a Bible and encourage you to share it with your child, read it to them, and aid them in discovering Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Thank you, preschoolers. And now if the congregation would please join me in the response in your bulletin. The Bible is one of the means by which God chooses to touch your heart. May you rededicate yourself to reading God's Word that gives hope and guidance for today and the promise of eternity for tomorrow. With joy, we commit ourselves to reading, learning, and growing in God's Word. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done.
He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children.
So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children.
And they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments.
And now all together, let's say the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Third graders and parents, we will leave through these doors here. Upstairs in the fellowship hall, I will be there shortly to start our Bible workshop. All other children can now come forward for Sunday school. Thank you.
Join me in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with her eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets out about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
Out of me, spin up a world with a nice soul.
You know you are old when vacation Bible school songs that you sang years ago have now made it into the worship service. I am now officially old. Someone said that you know you are old when the songs, the camp songs of your youth made it into the hymn book. So now, yes, I can say that I'm old on at least two different counts. Thank you so much. And Lauren, thank you for being the liturgist today. Lauren Brown is a freshman at Washington High School, and I appreciate her assisting with the service today as Pastor Zach is on a bicycling vacation with family. And we will pray for Reverend Zach. Our epistle lesson comes from James. It is the fourth lesson in the sermon series on the epistle of James. Listen now for the word of God as it speaks to you today. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Amen.
Holy ground.
from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus and the disciples went from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What are you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and the servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." May God once again add understanding to the reading of that word. I have several prayer concerns I want to lift up with you. We want to remember Al and Tim Higas in our prayers this morning, as this past week they said a temporal goodbye to their son Samuel Nelson, who was born earlier in the week. Dwight Borden, who is a UCC minister and worships with us when he is not doing interim work and was a member of the choir while he worshiped with us. His wife completed this part of life earlier this week. Her witness to the resurrection will be on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. And Gary Stevens is at the University of Illinois Hospitals in Chicago, having successfully received a liver transplant a week or 10 days ago. So we want to keep Gary and his family in our thoughts and prayers. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, we bow before you in the spirit of silence to offer the prayers of our hearts and to lift up those names that we just mentioned. Lord God, hear our various and sundry prayers, spoken and unspoken. Answer them according to your will and make us perceptive to your will as we go about the living of our own lives. Lord God, we lift up in prayer the community of which we are a part, our church community, as well as the places where we live. We pray for the executive board, the board of deacons, the mayor of the city of Peoria and all the surrounding communities, as well as all elected and appointed officials. You have placed upon their shoulders the responsibility for governance and for care and compassion. We ask that you give them the strength and the wisdom to carry out that charge. "Let not your hearts be troubled," Jesus once said, "neither let them be afraid. Place my yoke upon yourself. Take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lift the burden of their office and responsibility. We pray for the President of the United States, the Governor of the State of Illinois, as well as all the rulers of the world. There's been too much war and destruction, too much violence and hatred. Lord God, we ask that your healing balm will envelop the entire earth, that your love that passes all understanding will touch troubled hearts, troubled and anxious hearts, and that your peace will flow through us. Lord God, make us living examples of your kingdom here on earth in our daily lives, individually as well as a congregation. We pray for all worshiping communities who bow before you, seeking guidance and wisdom and understanding. Answer their prayers. We long for the day when swords shall be turned into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, and men and women will learn war no more, and children will no longer have to weep. We look forward to that day when your kingdom shall fully arrive here on earth. In the meantime, give us the strength and the courage that we need in order to be faithful in our discipleship and following of you. And Lord God, may the words that I am about to speak that are true be engraved upon every heart. And if anything is said that is false, may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. For those of you who keep track of sermon titles, today's is simply math, and it comes from the passage in James. The text I'd like for us to consider today is from that 13th verse of James' epistle, the third chapter. Who is wise and understanding among you, show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. Last night, as I was driving back from Chicago, I had gone up on Friday evening to have dinner with my wife and then to do a hospital call to check on Gary Stevens in the morning and then be arm candy for my wife at a wedding in Chicago. I don't know why you laugh about me being arm candy. I was driving back in the darkness of the night and got home about 11 o'clock or so, and I was following my GPS from the Homewood Flossmoor area of the south side of the Chicagoland, and I began to ponder the GPS, and I wondered what kind of little person lives inside my cell phone to be able to give me directions home. And then I began to think about the astronauts who first landed on the moon and how in my little cell phone I have more computer power than all the people did at NASA when they landed successfully on the moon and came back home. We live in an amazing and wonderful world, one that is changing more rapidly every day and every year. And I began to think about my GPS. I happen to be using Waze, but you could use Google Maps or you could use any number of other apps to help you find your way home when you're trying to get from one place to another. And I began to wonder about the algorithms which make these maps work wonders. An algorithm is a finite number of steps that you oftentimes has frequent repetition in order to find the solution to a problem. It is a way in which you can solve a problem through simple math. Now, many of us do not think that math was simple. As a matter of fact, geometry got the best of me, and something may have gotten the best of you. The Epistle of James is often seen as a counterweight or a counterbalance to Paul's emphasis on faith, because James, you may recall earlier, wrote, "Faith without works is dead." And the Apostle Paul said that faith is the most important thing that we can have in our lives. Although he doesn't say it this way, James did not see himself as a counterbalance against Paul's statement of faith, but rather he saw Paul's teachings and his own teachings as a type of algorithm to give us wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? You see, in James's mathematics, his spiritual mathematics, his theological mathematics, faith plus works equals wisdom. The two are inseparable. Jesus once said that his disciples need to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. By that he meant that we need to know the way in which the world works, because that is where God has placed us. But we do not need to adapt the world's principles to our own lives and to our life together. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, the Apostle Paul wrote. Do not take the ways of the world as the ways of God. For the wisdom of the world is seen as foolishness in the eyes of God. Now, I don't know how many of you have either have read books by Simon Sinek or have seen any of his YouTube videos or even listened to his podcast. But in a recent podcast, Simon Sinek made the observation that many of our standardized business models today are leftovers from the 90s, or from the 80s and the 90s, when the world was filled with peace and prosperity. You may recall that the Great Berlin Wall fell, that separated East from West. Germany underwent unification, and it looked like the end of history, as one writer said. And the principles, the business principles of the 80s and 90s became so normal that we don't even think it's a problem anymore. He goes on to say that the concept of shareholder supremacy, where we prioritize the needs of external constituency over the needs of our people, is like a coach trying to build a strong team by prioritizing the needs of the fans over the players. He says that this is an unbalanced culture in which we find ourselves. So putting numbers aside to take care of and to protect people from bad economies has gone by the wayside. Many investment banks have literally created environments where employees are addicted to perform to make the numbers, and they waste time and money and destroy relationships, stab people in the back, break laws in order to get their bonus, because that is their only sense of achievement. But he said that is not the wise way to proceed. This is no longer a time of relative peace and prosperity. There are added complications of globalization and the internet, and what worked 20 or 30 years ago no longer works today. He said that people like me are out there banging the drum, but I'm looking for a courageous leader who is willing to change the way that they are leading their businesses and prioritize people over numbers. It will take 15 to 20 years to put that into effect. But the irony is, if it is good for business, it is also good for shareholders. Capitalism is supposed to work in that you take care of people and people take care of business. But when you prioritize numbers over business, they will not take care of the business, they will take care of themselves. The ways of the world says that we meet budgets and expenses by cutting down on overhead and people. And we are not aware of the fact that by taking care of people, that we are actually promoting the business interest and the prosperity of all. Several years ago, a tornado hit Parsons Company in our own community, in our own area. And you may remember that they made national news by not laying off any of their workers, but by keeping them on employment and by helping rebuild the company. Today, they are more prosperous than what they were before the great tornado hit, partly because they rebuilt, but also partly because of the loyalty and the passion of their employees. By taking care of people, they were also able to take care of business. And it would be nearly impossible to hire someone away from that business model. The wisdom that we are called to embody is to see the importance of individuals and people, is to not see people as objects or things, but rather to see them as a child of God. We are called upon to take care of the least, the last, and the lost of all of God's children, because by taking care of them, we take care of ourselves. As I said in the preface to our prayer of confession, no one is an island exclusive unto themselves, but each is a part of the main. If one clod is washed away from the main, the island is the lesser. The wisdom that Jesus calls us to have, that James calls us to have, is to take care of those who are around us. Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave hope to those who are hopeless. He did not see this world as a division between us and them, insider and outsider, but he saw everyone as a child of God. And he called his disciples to follow in his example. Because by following in his example, we find a new way of life. A way of life that shows us what real truth is. Real truth is what real truth is about, and what life really is, that life is meant to be lived to its fullest with those with whom we share this world. The challenge to us today as a congregation at First Federated Church and as individuals is to adapt a wisdom that is beyond the worldly wisdom that we find ourselves enmeshed in. We no longer need to have divisions, but rather we need to seek reconciliation with one another, with those from whom we are, from those from whom we are estranged. Faith and works go hand to hand. Show me your works, and I will show you your faith, James said it in an earlier epistle. Together, faith and works equals wisdom, the algorithm upon which the kingdom of God is built. So may God give us wise hearts, understanding minds, and eyes to see where God is leading us to be. God called us to be a light to the nation. Let our light shine brightly to the glory of God. Amen. This is not a time of obligation, but rather one of opportunity, in which we have the opportunity to share with God out of the abundance of the blessings that God has first given to us. We are to set aside a percentage of our income to do the work of the hands of God, the work of the kingdom of God through the hands of this congregation. This is not a set of dues or responsibilities, but rather a chance to freely respond as we have been freely given. Let us come before God with our tithes and our offerings.
My heart.
Blessed are you, O God, maker and owner of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, our lives, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Special note on the closing hymn, Follow Your Numbers. The third verse is down below the beginning.
Note that our Sunday seminars will begin today at 11:30. The various locations are located in the Home Edition, The Spirituality of Giving by John Morris in the Sanctuary, Brian Uhlenhop, the director of the Dream Center in the Chapel, and the Youth and Your Technology in the Commons. May the love of God that will never let you go, the peace of Christ that passes all human understanding, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that knits us together as the body of Christ here on earth, may these three things dwell in your hearts forever. Amen.